This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Happy Tuesday to you on Evan and Tiki. Sean Morris, Tiki Barber here with you. Evan, the Mets might have killed Evan. He's down for the count, sick today after attending a couple games last week and recording a million Ricos. We hope to have him back tomorrow, but nonetheless, we got you here for the next 4 hours plus, talking all things Giants, Jets, Mets, and of course the World Series bound Yankees at 888-808-1019. And you're going to want to keep it locked here to the Fan, and specifically Evan and Tiki, every single day this week, but particularly as we lead into Friday. Friday, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series. And if anybody hasn't looked into buying tickets, or maybe you have, I mean, these bad boys, they get in a building, standing room. We're talking about $1,000.
Can we participate in this?
We are exempt, unfortunately. Well, we can't get in.
No.
And you know it's a hot ticket when Tiki can't even place a phone call to get us in the building. So you're going to want to keep it locked here. Friday, your chance to win basically unscorable tickets anywhere else. The most improbable World Series we've seen in about 40 years in terms of getting tickets. Yankees and Dodgers, and we will continue to talk about, could Shohei Ohtani pitch in this series?
That's the Yankees' fault for waiting so damn long to get back to the World
Series. Exactly, exactly. Last time we were in the World Series, we were like, I think you still had to cross highways to go into ticket brokers' places to get them.
It's true.
So Yankees, Dodgers, we'll talk about plenty of that, and the roster decisions and everything. But Tiki, a funny thing has happened over the last 48 hours since the Giants lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And while I thought we were going to walk away from MetLife Stadium, and I did on Sunday to that loss to the Eagles with just another Wendy, a bench Daniel Jones conversation, the conversation has really pivoted to this regime of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and their future and their job security. And you have people chiming in from all over the national landscape on this. And I got to be honest with you. What the hell are you guys watching? How could you have a take that Brian Daboll or Joe Shane are not the right regime, that don't deserve to draft their own quarterback? I don't see it. I don't understand it. And I have plenty of thoughts on it. But Tiki, yeah, well, I mean, this is the swell going on right now.
This happens because you have ineffective outings like you did against the Eagles. At home, division rival, you score 3 points. And it never even felt like they were going to score more than 3 points.
Right.
They weren't threatening. They didn't have mistakes in the red area. It was just flat bad. And we know why it was, because your left tackle is compromised. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback is afraid to take some shots downfield. You have missed fits defensively. So Saquon Barkley goes for a 55-yard jaunt down the left sideline, a 47-yard jaunt right up the middle of the field. I love Micah McFadden. Where the hell are you looking at, dude?
Yeah.
And so you get these moments when you get your ass kicked. And that's what happened. They got beat so bad by the Eagles that it makes people start questioning whether the people and the processes are right. But I'm with you. They're as good as the Giants should be on paper, because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The talent that they have offensively, the new scheme defensively, some of the pieces at work. There is still a lot of it that is not even close to being at the level that the top teams in the NFL are right now.
Sure,
and that the primary one is what you just mentioned, at quarterback.
Yeah.
Again, I went on this little rant yesterday at the end of the show after Evan left, and it was just me and you, but it was just mostly me, talking about Daniel Jones. And I really love him as a kid. I think he's smart. I think he's big and strong, and he's a leader. He works his butt off. He's the first guy in there. He's the last guy to lead. Like, he does everything right except ball.
Yeah.
And so if
it's a pretty big thing you need to do right.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But if you are this Joe Shane, Dave's led organization/team, you can't be truly evaluated until you have your guy. Now, with that being said, they're still recovering from an era where they had some bad drafts, they had some bad contracts, and 3 years, to me, not even 3 years, doesn't feel like, all right, I'm done, I don't believe in them.
Yeah. Yeah, Tiki, I'm with you, and I need to remind everybody this. I know we get caught up in this hunger for wanting more and wanting the success, and I get it, man. And if you go to games every single week and spend your hard-earned money, it has been pathetic what the Giants have done specifically offensively for us for the past few years. But I keep coming back to how bad the Joe Judge era ended when he's running that quarterback sneak with, you know, with whatever, Jake Fromm or Mike Glennon. I even forget who the quarterback was at
this point. Basically a kneel down.
Kneel down. How bad it got towards the end of the Pat Shurmur tenure. And I think we all forget, because it's been now so long, 3 years, how bad a disgrace and disarray Dave Gettleman put this franchise into and left this franchise in. And here we are in the year 2024, and two things are still paramount. Saquon Barkley just rushed all over the Giants from the Philadelphia Eagles, and good for him, he went out and got paid. Because Dave Gettleman spent the second overall pick on him, and we didn't have a regime with the foresight to take, say, Josh Allen, that Joe Shane was a part of a regime of taking, mm-hmm. that maybe could take Lamar Jackson, who went by every team until 32nd overall. How different would this Giant team look if they had a general manager in place that did that instead of taking the running back second overall? But the running back became a fan favorite. So much so that the owner, and I don't blame him, fell in love with him because the fans loved him.
Right.
But Dave Gettleman's mistake of taking Saquon Barkley second overall and not addressing quarterback led to them then addressing quarterback the following year. And now what we've learned, unfortunately, the mistake of taking Daniel Jones sixth overall. Now we've gotten to 2024, where everything besides those points, besides finding the quarterback, continues to get built up better and better. Before Andrew Thomas got hurt, Tiki, I think we'd all agree, we finally liked where the offensive line was at. It would be nice if they had some depth.
Seemed
and,
like it.
And that was on, you know, okay, Joe Shane with the Gettleman scouts. Didn't do a good job that first year with that.
They were terrible.
They missed on three offensive linemen on it. The defense has continued to be built up. Micah McFadden, like you mentioned, he's been a pretty good pick in the late rounds. Finding Bobby Okereke. Getting a really reasonable deal done with Dexter Lawrence if you were Joe Shane. Getting Kayvon Thibodeau here. Getting Burns here. Everything they've done in the secondary, I know Banks gave up, but he hasn't been a complete disaster, and he's been a worthy enough corner taken in the 20s. I like what the Giants have done building the roster around, and now I have seen enough football in this modern NFL to know, yes, you will always have holes as an NFL team, but hitting on the quarterback can make a lot of coaches look pretty damn good, and we saw Tommy DeVito win football games with Brian Daboll last year when this team could have quit. We saw Daniel Jones, who we all think stinks, right? Well, guess what they did in 2022 with Daniel Jones? Made the playoffs and made him competent.
He won a game.
How could you look at this team at 2-5 right now and go, we could do better at head coach, we could do better at general manager? If you're doing that, you're allowing the mistakes made by Dave Gettleman with the Saquon pick instead of quarterback, and then the quarterback of Daniel Jones to still haunt this team in 2024, and you'd be setting the organization further backwards by dumping these
well,
two guys.
Well, first of all, it's not happening.
It better not be.
Whatever they think is happening, these, I don't know who's doing it, fans or otherwise, some media, I'm sure, calling for Dabes and Shane to be fired. It's not happening. And the reason it's not is because I think that John Mara has been through that rinse and repeat too many times. If he had done it once or maybe even twice
right.
in the last decade, you could probably say, hey, you know what? This guy's not the right guy. Yeah, it's not the right fit. I just don't think that this duo, GM head coach, is right. But they've been through this so many times. And the last thing you need to do is reset again
right.
and start over again. Whatever momentum has been built is just washed and done because somebody else is going to come in and say, yeah, you know, I don't really, yeah, Brian Burns doesn't fit what I want to do. That's a bad signing. How do we get out from under that contract? Or, yeah, Tay Diggs. I mean, not Tay Diggs.
It always comes back to Tay Diggs.
Tay Banks. He's not good enough for what I want to do. So, you know what? Let's trade him.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, you start ripping down a roster and moving on to new pieces that, you know, like, you just start over again.
Why?
And nobody wants to or needs to start over. I don't pretend to know what's going on inside right. Quest Diagnostic Center. I go over there every now and then, but I'm not having in-depth, deep conversations. I'm not going to play that role like, oh, I'm the former player. I know better. But I do know that organizations that are constantly turning over coaches don't find success in the short term. They just don't. And sometimes it takes time, especially when you are uncertain, as we know they were, because we saw it on Hard Knocks, about your quarterback.
And that's exactly it. How many regimes don't ever get to pick a quarterback before they get rid of
him? Very few.
And
now, the Jets got to pick one, and then they got rid of him, and then they got
a legend. Joe Douglas has got the second life, right?
And it still hasn't happened.
But this is the fact of the matter. To me, I trust that Joe Shane was in a room that was able to identify Josh Allen as the guy. I trust that now, a couple years in, this looks like the best Joe Shane draft
class. Allen was, he was Anthony Richardson.
Right.
He was Will Levis.
Right.
In his first couple of years.
Right.
People act like Josh Allen, who became an MVP candidate in 2020, which was his third year. His third year. Those first 2 years were as horrendous as you could possibly imagine. Now, he had good legs, and he ran for, I think, 17 touchdowns in those first couple of years. So he found ways to be successful. But as a quarterback, he was bad.
Right.
And so developing your guy, It takes time.
And don't we trust Brian Daboll could do that?
I do, but it's got to be the right guy.
But this is the other part. If the Giants were to do something crazy off of this year, like dump Brian Daboll or Joe Shane, not only would they not have gotten to pick their own guy, they would also be punished by doing the right thing. First of all, they would be punished by being really good in 2022 because that kind of set the Giants' clock back. We would never return that playoff year, but guess what?
Yeah.
If they stunk, they don't sign Daniel Jones, we would have expected them to stink, this, that, and the other. So it's almost like you're going to punish them for accelerating their clock. And on top of that, you know, everything that's happened since last year, when the Giants tried to trade up but had three teams in front of them, one of the quarterbacks, they identified clearly Jaden Daniels or Drake May as their quarterbacks. Couldn't get them. Rather than do things that bad organizations do, which is take a quarterback you don't believe in, they pivoted and took the playmaker we all love in Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to punish this regime and fire them for not saying, forget Malik Nabers, let's go get J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
That would be malpractice.
Right.
This regime has shown that they're doing the right thing, they're doing the smart thing, and they didn't force a quarterback when a quarterback was there. This upcoming offseason, if and when we get there, will have to be the time they do that.
And so here comes the challenge, though. Forget the fired Daboll. Let's assume that Daboll and Shane are going to be still with the Giants. And by the way, I know that they are. What happens if they start winning some games
this year?
And it's not because of Daniel Jones, but he's good enough, but he's clearly still not the answer. And all of a sudden, the challenge becomes, how do we get the quarterback we want? And so what's in front of them is probably more daunting than the decisions they've had to make in the past. Because if they win six games or seven games, whatever it is, let's say they win six games and they're picking 14th, they're not getting one of the quarterbacks that they want to get. And so now they're going to have to look in free agency.
Yeah.
And so just to think about handing that off, that same decision, to a new regime makes no sense to me.
True.
Especially after they've tried to build this thing piece by piece by piece by going to fix the defensive side of the ball and bringing in a new coordinator and, you know, trying to get some veteran offensive line that helped the pass pressure situation from the previous couple of years. And so they've taken steps towards a solution, but the biggest piece of it is consistent quarterback, not even a consistent, because I think Daniel Jones is actually pretty consistent in quarterback play. He's just not good.
Yeah, well, he consistently doesn't score at home.
Right, and so like when you can't score points, it doesn't matter what anything else is going on with your team, how good a piece is or how bad a piece is. You can't score, you're not winning, and it's gonna look ugly. And so it's looked ugly, but I think we all know the reason why.
No doubt about it. It's the quarterback. Don't fire the coach. Get the new quarterback. 888-808-1019. There is a black cloud still hanging over this coaching situation. He opened his mouth. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. And again, Yankee tickets, score them here on Friday. We'll continue to take your Yankee calls as we amp up to the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series as well. If you have some thoughts on that throughout the show, of course, all are welcome. But let's get a couple calls in here now, Tiki, on the situation with the New York Giants. Bruce in Brooklyn. Bruce, what's up? You're on Evan and Tiki.
What
up, Bruce?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. You finally aggravated me enough to wait on hold to talk to you.
All right. Keep
blaming Gettleman for wasting draft picks.
Yep.
Who's a better offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas or Evan Neal? Who's
Andrew
a better
Thomas.
Defensive player, Dexter Lawrence or K- K- Kayvon Thibodeau.
Cool. No, Bruce, no doubt about it. Dave Gettleman swung on two. Bruce, Dave Gettleman hit on two big pieces. Now do all the other Dave Gettleman disasters and add up with the other pieces that Joe Shane has actually showed to be pretty competent here.
Well, I don't know about that. I thought not re-signing Barkley was a big mistake. He was 60% of your offense, and he made Jones a better quarterback. Not Jones making Bruce. Him a better running back.
Bruce, a team that can't score, paying a guy who's a running back who misses games every year to be 60% of their offense is a big problem.
But Barkley does score. He does score. He goes for 40-yard runs and 30-yard runs. He does score.
Let's not relitigate Saquon Barkley, who is now an Eagle.
Right, and let him be an Eagle.
He's a Philadelphia Eagle. He said it to us after the game, after he rushed for 176 yards and a touchdown. I finally feel like an Eagle. He is an Eagle. Guess what? I get to call the Eagles in 2 weeks.
Do you got the Eagles?
I do. Eagles-Jags.
Eagles-Jags. The flex out.
That's right.
All right.
We'll get a chance. At least I'll get a chance to talk about Saquon.
You
going to
get in the meeting room with Saquon?
Probably.
All right. Gallo with you.
Exactly. Get some content for the show. We can't sit here and talk about Saquon because Saquon's not here. He's not a part of the solution for the New York Giants. You can go back and evaluate and judge Joe Shane for his decision to not, I don't know, ante up whatever more money he wanted to make him a Giant for life. But they felt like roster building, that wasn't in their best interest. And at some point, you know, maybe that does come back and become one of the things that, you know, as we keep evaluating one of the bad mistakes that they made. But he's also a running back. And we know that running backs, I don't want to say they come and they go, but they kind of come and they go.
Yeah. I mean, like what Tyrone Tracy's doing for the Giants.
Exactly, but there's very few guys. Derrick Henry is one. A lot of people wanted to talk about Chris McCaffrey, but, dude, how many games has this guy missed? And so,
well, Tiki, you just named two guys. Guess what? The Ravens adding Derrick Henry, the 49ers adding Christian McCaffrey, the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago adding Saquon Barkley. What do they all have in common? They didn't spend first-round capital on those guys. They signed them as finishing pieces.
Right. And the running back was the cap on top of everything else.
Exactly.
Not the core of what they're trying to do.
Dave Gettleman used a second overall pick for basically the equivalent of a person that can't afford their mortgage but buys a Ferrari. That's what they did with Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Okay?
By the way, it felt like at the time he might have been right about it.
Well, did Eli have enough juice left?
Let's cap it with Saquon as a first round draft.
And 12 months later, they were drafting a quarterback.
Exactly right.
And that problem is where the Giants are still at today. And if they get rid of Dable and Shane, they are still paying the price for that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan. Evan under the weather today. So who knows? You probably won't get another emergency Rico Bronya tonight. It's Sean Morash, Tiki Barber, Tommy, Alex with us along the way as well.
He didn't want to have to deal with the only Yankee talk today.
Oh, you think that's what happened?
Yeah, because the Mets are effectively done. Out. We'll talk about what the seven line wants to do at some point. But the Met talk is done until David Stern speaks tomorrow.
Yes.
So he knew he had to, look, let Sean and Tiki talk about the Yankees and the Giants. I'll take a sick day.
I'm a baby. And on that note, a reminder, Friday, World Series tickets. They're impossible to buy. You can win them.
Oh, no, you can buy them.
Oh, you can buy them.
It's just going to cost you your mortgage.
They're impossible to buy without you getting divorced. You can win them right here on Friday, and we will continue to take your Yankee calls all week long. And, you know, one more quick thought before we get back to your Giant calls on this. Nestor Cortez does look like will, in fact, be on the World Series roster, as he should be.
Think he's starting a game?
Well, forget starting a game. The Yankees, or at least Aaron Boone, hinted at today that they would carry the 13th pitcher. In other words, it wouldn't be like Nestor gets added and, say, Tim Mesa comes off the roster, that they would keep him as a 13th pitcher. I don't have a problem with that, especially the way the bullpen got taxed in the ALCS with just five games.
So who are you pulling off?
So a position player come off, and I think I got the guy. It's Trent Grisham.
Yeah,
as great a veteran as he's been, we've seen, think about this.
Him at all in the postseason.
We've seen Birdie and Waldo clearly get used, and they need to be on there knowing to deal with Rizzo. Dominguez has come into pinch run. Grisham didn't come into pinch run. You obviously have used both backup catchers a bunch. I don't know where else you would go. To me, Trent Grisham's got to be off the roster. Right. And remember, now that you've reached the World Series, if somebody were to get hurt and you needed to pull them off the roster, it's not like the previous rounds where if you pulled them off, they would be ineligible for the following round. There is no following round.
This is it. So you got to make it right from the very beginning.
So if an outfielder got hurt, then fine. Then you add him back, and that guy's done for the World Series.
Yeah, you're right.
So to me, it's a no-brainer. Trent Grisham off the roster.
I mean, Cabrera can play the outfield, too. So it's not as if you need...
And again, you have Dominguez, you have Judge. And if it was only for a game where a guy got hurt, if it was that bad, they were out, then you pull Grisham back on the roster.
Right.
But I agree with it. The way the pitching got taxed, please, just keep the 13 pit. Do what you're going to do. And that includes Stroman, by the way. Keep him on, even though you didn't use him, keep him on the roster, too. Because if Clay Holmes, who knows if 5 days isn't enough for Clay Holmes to get his act together, too.
Stop.
They may need all the arms they get. It's true. I mean, the more time, especially the Dodger lineup is a lot lengthier than what Cleveland and Kansas City.
Clay Holmes has partially redeemed himself, so leave him alone.
He has. But if he pitches every single day to Teoscar Hernandez and Mookie Betts, it's going to be a problem in the series. So I'm very interested. And we'll get into later on, do we think Nestor Cortez should start in this series or strictly come out of the bullpen? 888-808-1019. But again, Yankee tickets Friday. Brendan in White Plains. Brendan, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
On this
Giant stuff, it just seems to me that Shane and Dable have very conveniently decided that, you know, Daniel Jones is not their guy, right? But the fact is, they paid him. They kept him. That was their decision. Turns out it was the wrong decision.
Right.
They had a chance to get his replacement. They failed to do that.
Well, hold on, Brendan. That's not entirely fair.
And I take exception to conveniently, because I don't think they conveniently decided to keep him. I think they had no choice.
Think about this, Brendan. Put yourself back in that situation the Giants were in. They did not pick up his option, which every Giant fan didn't complain about. They were ready to move on. They got the most out of him, made the playoffs. Now, what a team would typically do if they were looking to find their answer at quarterback is find some sort of bridge deal where you're half in, half out. That's what they did. They gave him effectively a two-year deal, and if they didn't do that, they would have signed another veteran quarterback if there was one available to a similar kind of deal. At that point, Daniel Jones would have been the best available veteran, even if he wasn't a Giant, to sign to that kind of deal. So they didn't pick him.
So it didn't work out, right?
Right.
But what did they made the playoffs? They made the playoffs with Dave Gettleman's roster. So you just start adding up these pieces. It's like, what gives them what's the belief in this team that they get to essentially start over in year four, where they made.
I think the start over is the wrong part. Getting a quarterback is not starting over.
Right.
Starting over would be like, all right, our defensive end stink. Let's get rid of him. That big D tackle that we just paid all that money to, he's really not that good, even though he's likely to win the defensive MVP right now. Our cornerbacks are still young. So, but yeah, let's just start over with that. That would be starting over. They're not doing that. They've built a defense that I think in the short and near and long term, it's going to be really damn good.
Yeah.
I can't look at it any other way. Offensively, I like how Tyrone Tracy runs the football. I called the Seattle game.
Looks like a playmaker.
He has advanced, like, understanding of run schemes and when to press a hole and how to... I mean, he had 225-plus yard runs. How many of those have we seen
right.
since Saquon, you know, unless it was Saquon Barkley? The wide receiving room is really good. I mean, if Malik Nabers turns into a star, it'll be a great
Rondell's
wide receiver.
Rondell's a good slot.
Exactly. So the challenge has been left tackle, and that's mainly because Andrew Thomas keeps getting hurt.
Right.
And as a result, there's an inferior product right. out there.
Which they did draft. The regime drafted two guys who can't play tackle. No doubt about it.
So to me, I mean, I can't look back at the Daniel Jones decision because they had no other choice. Like, what were they going to do? They couldn't franchise tag him. Hey, let's franchise tag Daniel Jones for 1 year and pay him almost $50 million.
He did the smart thing. The Giants are able to get out after this year because it was a smart contract to give Daniel Jones. It didn't work out.
That's right.
But they can get out. And, you know, when you go through this whole thing, I hate playing this game. The majority of the NFL, if you watch all the games week in and week out, and I'm a gluttonous pig doing it, Tiki calls all these games left and right. Most of the league lives between 6 and 10 wins, and you can go back and watch any team season and bring up a couple plays here or there why they are either wins, 7, right?
Look, the team I'm calling this week, I'm calling the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. In your mind, are the Indianapolis Colts good or bad?
I have no idea.
Like, people would say mostly bad. I'm just telling you. You know, their record is 4-3.
They're in a playoff
partner. And you know how many games they've lost by more than 6 points?
None. Well, okay.
None.
But this is the point with the
Not
Giants.
Not a game.
So when everybody complains about the roster that Joe Shane has built here, the coach has built here, the Giants are 2-5, and Sunday was really ugly. I know. I sat out at MetLife, and it was miserable. The week before... With better quarterback play, did the Giants beat the Cincinnati Bengals in what was a very tight game where they missed a field goal and Malik Nabers was out?
No.
They would have with better quarterback play, probably.
With better quarterback play, yes.
Okay? The Dallas Cowboy game on Thursday Night Football where he couldn't connect any deep passes and the Giants, again, were in that game with one possession. Did the Giants win that game with a better quarterback?
Probably.
Okay. So that's just two. Forget the other games that have been played.
Yeah, they have kickers.
Right. Kicker problem versus Washington. Minnesota, they got bullied a little bit. And Philly, they got bullied.
Yep.
The point is, with a better quarterback in the same roster that Joe Shane has built, which isn't complete, by the way, because you're digging out, the Giants are a playoff team right now. Yeah. What are we talking about?
And the season's not even close to being over.
Of course.
There's so many teams that are just underperforming expectation or just kind of average. We look at the outliers. We look at Baltimore, who, by the way, is also 5-2. It's not like Baltimore's undefeated. Or the Kansas City Chiefs, who, they're undefeated, but their quarterback's playing like crap.
Right.
I mean, he's not a top 10 quarterback right now, the way Pat Mahomes is playing football. And I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Like, the record tells you that they're great, but he hasn't played great.
No, he hasn't played well this year.
And so there's so much more that goes into it. And to me, the Giants aren't a fire coach away from getting better.
No.
And so I think it's premature to even think it.
No.
Because
you got to see the quarterback with the roster they built.
2 years and 7 games.
Yep.
And year one was great.
Exactly.
So what are we talking about?
And they're being punished for being great in year one. If they stunk, nobody would have batted an eye. Rory in the Bronx. Rory, what's up?
Gentlemen, thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
So I really, as a Jets fan, you know, I really can appreciate good coaching. And I really do believe that Dable is a great leader, a great coach. And he did take that, you know, a below average roster and, you know, made a miracle season out of it. Took you guys
right to the playoffs. You would take Dable as a Jet fan today to coach that team.
That's correct. And that's not even up for debate. I think we have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL with no leader. And I think a leader in that locker room is what every team needs. But what I do believe is I think Joe Shane's made some very poor decisions. I do believe that, you know, him doubling down on, you know, paying Daniel Jones that contract, I really don't believe a lot of teams or any team in the NFL would have paid him $40 million. If he tested that free agent market, I don't think he would have got paid that.
Rory, you're right. That if there was one thing that I would have, in retrospect, would have wanted Joe Shane to do differently, was say, go test the free agency. But the challenge then is, if you lose him, what do you do?
Right.
You know what I mean? So let's say somebody gives him, because they just believed that he had bad circumstances because he had, three head coaches and four coordinators. And
the belief was that he would only get better now that he'd finally clicked with Dable.
Right, so I agree with you, Rory, 100%. Let Daniel, you don't really want him that badly. Let him test free agency. When he doesn't get what he wants, then he can come back. But what if you lost him? Now, right. Now you're stuck with who?
Yeah. Right? I mean, I guess Tyrod Taylor, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, or back to your guys' point before. You said you guys, what the deal is, it's the bridge quarterback before you find your next option. I think there was plenty of options if he really thought he was a bridge quarterback. But I really think that Shane doubled down on it, this Hard Knocks, saying that you don't pay a guy $40 million to hand it off to a $20 million running back.
Like, well,
I think he believed in him.
Yeah, well,
you can't say believed him, and yeah. In the same show when he's like, hey, would you trade it for Jaden Daniels?
Rory, it's an interesting point you make. I think he believed in him because we know what Dabes wanted to do this offseason. He wanted to get explosive plays. Mm-hmm. There's a reason they went and got Malik Nabers. They want to push the ball down the field. Yeah. It's why, in theory, Jalin Hyatt has been so good for you. He can't get on the field because Darius Slayton is there and Wando Robinson. Right. He's blocked. You're not throwing out four wide all the time. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, he's also blocked on his own. For wishing he could have outplayed Slayton in camp.
Oh, true. You know? Well, that's the point is he didn't, yeah, which right. Tells you all you need to know.
Right.
Right. And so, so they wanted more explosives. And I listened to all of these press conferences, and Dave isn't telling us jack. Now, you can sit there and listen and think you're going to learn something from a Brian Daboll press conference. You're not getting anything. But the one thing I do get is he wants to throw the ball down the field, yeah. And his quarterback is not doing it. Period. Yeah. He refuses to take the risk. He refuses to be... I don't know, to put himself and put the ball in harm's way. And I get why. Because the one year he had great success, went to the playoffs and won that game against the Minnesota Vikings, he led the league in turnover percentage.
Yes.
It was him and Jalen Hurts at 1.1%.
And it was such a big issue early in his career.
Exactly.
That getting corrected was so big for him.
He's gun-shy right now. He's conservative right now. And so this team was built to be explosive, but they have a quarterback that doesn't want to be explosive.
Right? That's why the quarterback changes so much. You can't tell me
exactly.
What do they say when you buy a house? The bones of the house are good. The bones of the Giant roster are good.
Yes.
The quarterback changes everything. That's the way I look at it. And I can't stand for it. Now, I will say there is a black cloud hanging over all of this with the Giants and what's going on. And that is, if you ask the question, you got to fire these guys, who are you going to hire? And you could throw out a million different answers. But this freaking Bill Belichick, this ghost of Bill Belichick that is available and hanging over, and we know how much he means to that Giant organization in the past and how much the Giants mean to him. But now Bill Belichick, in many ways, Tiki, you remember this when you first retired, to become a part of the media, and you take one little thing you say, and it gets isolated and spun, and you're Mr. Anti-Giant, right? You know that all well. Well, Bill Belichick can't keep the Giants out of his mouth. And I don't blame him because he's paid as an analyst now to talk about this. But because he's who he is.
I just don't understand why they keep asking him about a bad team.
Exactly. Well, here was Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show yesterday.
The Giants thing, I don't really understand. He was their best player. For a couple million dollars more, they could have kept him, I guess. Instead they got a guard or somebody, I don't know. The offensive line doesn't look very good.
Bruce.
I mean, they're playing a guy at left tackle who shouldn't be playing left tackle. Evan Neal is drafted in the first round. He doesn't play. They have some UFA guards that are pretty suspect. It's a tough line. And honestly, I thought that, the quarterback is trying to hang in there. It's been tough sledding.
Good luck, Giants fans. Good luck, Giants fans.
Nice 100.
It'll turn around.
This will be a big one for him this week in Pittsburgh, right? They play Pittsburgh coming up Monday night.
Danny's starting.
Right.
Right.
So,
I mean, that first of all, Daniel Jones.
I know that Bill Belichick is one of the great minds in football.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask him that he just go watch Daniel Jones play.
Yeah.
Just go watch the game, go watch the film, and then come back and tell me Daniel Jones is doing all right.
Yeah, and just hanging in there. Also, he's right about Neal, and he's right about the left tackle shouldn't be out there, Rizzuto. Before Andrew Thomas got hurt, what were we all saying every week about the Giants? Their offensive line was humming along and playing well. Right. They have a couple of UFAs. They signed a guard, I guess. John Runyon was one of the most sought-after guards in free agency.
Right.
What is he talking about?
Right.
And for a couple million more, you would add Saquon. Here's all I'd say about Bill Belichick. I could take nothing away. He knows more football or has forgotten more football or Oliver Nell, yada, 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 all the Super Bowls and everything. Bill Belichick, fact of the matter is, when he got full control, stunk as a general manager. And Tom Brady... cleaned a lot of that up. He's a great head coach. He's not a great executive. And if Bill Belichick is basically making the argument that the Giants should have paid Saquon Barkley and, you know, saying, oh, Jones could hang in there and the offensive line, that tells me all I need to know. The Giants should stay far, far away from Bill Belichick and not let that, and I don't think it will, but if that's the black cloud of why you would get rid of Dable or Shane is to bring Belichick in, that's a mistake. And in 2 years, when Belichick is aged out and realizes he's too tired to do this, what's next? They get stuck with Josh freaking McDaniels because Belichick has his tentacles in it?
Right.
This would be, you think drafting Saquon second overall was a mistake? You think drafting Daniel Jones sixth overall was a mistake? Hiring Bill Belichick to fire Joe Shane and Brian Daboll would be the biggest mistake this Giant organization has made in 20 years. And hearing comments like
that scares me
to death.
Is that what they're intimating? Is that what they're trying to get us to believe?
Well,
Belichick is...
That's why he gets asked about the Giants, Teak.
Is, I don't know, hankering for the Giants' job in some capacity?
I think in many ways, yes. And I think anytime Bill Belichick's asked about the Giants, it's going to be something viral. And I think you always have to take it with a tinge of... He thinks he could clean up this mess. So he's going to take little pot shots on what's going on with the Giants because this is this is his home, so to speak, other than New England. As a Giant fan, it scares me to death. 5 years ago, different story. Not now. And you can't give him full control because he couldn't build a roster. Whatever was left over was built there, and he had Brady. The moment that was gone, that was over.
Yeah, and I don't think he knows enough about Evan Neal to talk about Evan Neal.
No, of course not.
Now, I have the same question. Why isn't Evan Neal playing? I mean, I asked this the other day. This was when Andrew Thomas got hurt. We asked this question. I would just play Evan Neal.
Right.
Just throw Evan Neal in there. He's a first-round pick, and at the very least, you're going to know whether or not he's worth it.
Right.
But as I went through the last weekend, and now we're coming out of this weekend, he's still likely not going to play Evan Neal. It's telling me one thing that I know is true about Dabes and your ability to get on the field. You have to earn it. It was the first thing that we talked about with Dave's in 2022, that all of these guys, you have to earn it. I don't care who you are, what your position is, what your status is, because he's a new head coach. You have to earn it. It's the culture that he established early on. It tells me that Evan Neal is not earning it. The fact that Josh Azudu started at left tackle last week over Evan Neal tells me that Evan Neal is not earning the right to play. Now, whether that's because he's not fully healthy or able to get on the field, or he just doesn't give enough of a crap, Evan Neal is not going to ever play for the New York Giants, it seems like.
And how far we've come from a year ago, basically telling all fans to flip burgers and hot dogs or whatever they do. Whatever that comment was last year, remember that? What's up, Loogie?
So two things here. Number one, I'd rather have 20 years of Joe Judge than 1 year of Bill Belichick. All due respect.
I don't even know if I'd go there, but yeah, okay.
The game has passed him by. He's old man football. He had the right to do this, but he drove the Patriots into the ground. That's number one. Number two, I want to push back on you guys just a little bit here because you talked about the Giants' talent. I agree with you. They have a lot of talent. But every team in the NFL has a lot of talent.
Sure.
You keep your job as a head coach and GM because you have a quarterback. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
True.
So they
you're developing one.
Right. Or you have a Niner situation where Purdy was the right guy with that right roster.
Right.
So there's two ways to go about it, but that quarterback is the right fit. They paid Daniel Jones and they paid Drew Lock and they didn't draft a quarterback. Now, I think the Falcons threw a little wrench into the plans, or at least the plan I had, which was to trade back into the first round to get Penix.
Possible.
Take a wide receiver. But you also could have taken a quarterback and drafted Brian Thomas, a receiver. And I love Malik. They didn't get a quarterback in the offseason. They got Drew Lock. So they have failed now twice. We get on Joe Douglas for this, but Shane has failed at the quarterback, now, the most important position.
But this is where I said this in April, and I'll still say it today. Every one of us that complain about Daniel Jones today, if the Giants were to, after those top quarterbacks went off the board, went Bo Nix, jury's out, Denver's playing well, but they have a great defense. Or if they would have went J.J. McCarthy.
Bo Nix has not been good this year.
My point is the Broncos have been good.
I understand that. He's not been good.
But my
yes,
forget this. Giants don't get Malik Nabers, and their best receivers are Hyatt and Slayton, and they basically take what's left at wherever they were picking. What was it, fifth overall, sixth overall?
Yeah.
What are we all saying? This is Daniel Jones all over again. So now we're going to get on the regime for not taking the quarterback there? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
They still addressed a big-time problem, which was getting an offensive weapon in Malik Nabers. Now that paints them in a hole where this offseason they need to figure out the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's what really sucks, is that it's been three years, and every year there's been a quarterback question. Now, the first year didn't matter because Daniel Jones played well, but it's game one of year two, it was like, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And then after he got hurt, you go into game one of game year three, it's like, this could be a problem.
Bigger problem. Yeah. It's a massive, massive issue. But I'll also throw this out there, or maybe I won't. I'll tease it. Next hour, I'm going to tell you, there's another quarterback lurking this offseason for the Giants that's lurking even more now over the last
I don't think Giant fans want a vet. They don't want a vet. They don't want somebody who's been here before. They want somebody who has the potential to be Jaden Daniels or the potential to be C.J. Stroud or whatever.
I agree.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love, right?
But if Tommy DeVito, comes in here and wins enough games and pushes him out, maybe they end up getting a guy whose name might rhyme with Rat Tafford. Just throwing it out there. 888-808-1019. Jackson in Plainview. Jackson, what's up?
Hi, Sean. Hi, Tiki.
Hey, what's up, Jackson?
I'm just a miserable Giants fan who is watching Tay Banks pick apples, a quarterback that should be teaching gym class. Tiki, why should I have any hope, and when will things turn around? Because I think the roster is not as bad as people think, but
it's not as bad.
I can't do this for another 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's the challenge. Is if it looks like what it looked like against the Eagles for the next 10 weeks, people are going to stop going or stop watching.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad product.
Which is why I think DeVito's playing in 2 weeks.
And so,
home game?
I can't disagree with you. And it's why I said yesterday, and I've said it after we saw the Drew Lock experience for a quarter, 11 minutes. 11 minutes! He can't be the backup.
No.
I know you paid him $5 million. People will leave the building if Drew Lock is coming in as your savior. Your spark. Let's use the word he used, spark, because he's not a spark.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of a soft landing spot with Washington and then Carolina with Germany to play a DeVito to kind of get things going, feeling good. The best thing the Giants will have going for them on Monday night is that it's the same night as Game 3 of the World Series. So maybe you will get less disgust and less anguish because everybody's focused on the Yankees.
That's a great point.
Beating the Dodgers.
It's a great point.
And we'll continue to take your calls on the Yankees and Dodgers, on the Giants situation. Will Shohei Ohtani pitch in this series? We have some thoughts on that.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.